I'm Nun Gimel, I'm an Aleph, about halfway through the Amud. Shmuel Omar. And Shmuel's coming to disagree with Rav. Rav allowed you to put the traskel on the donkey on Shabbos. The traskel is this basket that would save the animal the tirch of having to turn around and bend down and eat its food from the ground. Instead, it could eat it straight from this basket, which is called a traskel, and kal v'chomer, and how much more so would it be mutter to put the saddlecloth on the donkey, because the saddlecloth is clearly there for the purpose of warming up the animal. It definitely has the status of a beged, so it's not a masa. Whereas, in the case of the traskel, it's only trying to save the animal a bit of a hassle. So it's for the tainug of the animal, as we called it. And Rav nevertheless holds that that's enough to make it part of the garments of the animal, of the donkey. And Shmuel comes to disagree. Shmuel Omar Mardas Mutter, although for sure Mardas is Mutter, to put on Shabbos, because that's to warm the animal. That's certainly a beged. It's not a masa. And not only that, you can say about a mardas that cloth will also cushion any sort of burden that might be put on the animal's back from the flesh of the animal, so that it'll prevent any sort of suffering on the animal. That's typical, and that is part of the animal's beged, and it's certainly not a masli. But as far as a traskel is concerned, that's already a whole different story, because a traskel is only for the sake of tainug, and it's hard to consider that as a beged, and therefore traskel also, that we're not allowed to put on a Shabbos, that remains a masa. That's the shita of Shmuel as opposed to Rav. Now, if we go back up to the beginning of the Amud, we have Rav Asi Bar Nosson, and he was talking about a different kind of a violation. He wasn't talking about Masa, but he was talking about Tirchi Yisera. In the case of, let's say, putting on a Mardas, a saddlecloth, again, we discussed different possibilities about, a saddlecloth that was tied on during Shabbos, and here with Rav Asi, we had a different kind of shaila, and that was, let's say, in a private domain, where there would be no issue about Shvisas Behemto, because it's not going out into Rishus HaRabim, but the issue is putting on this saddlecloth on Shabbos in order to warm up the animal. And the issue was Tirchi Yisera. And the question is whether, putting this saddlecloth onto the donkey might be Tirchi Yisera. It's unnecessarily exerting oneself on the Shabbos. It might be an additional problem that he might come to tie it down. And we have a gzera to kshira that he might come to do kshira. But in any case, in any event, when we get to a traskel, we're certainly talking about something that is unnecessary, and it's not a beged. And you would not be allowed, according to Shmuel, to put the traskel onto the animal on Shabbos. So that we could speak about the word masa here in this context, not as far as masa and Rishus HaRabim. We're not talking about Rishus HaRabim now. Right now we're talking about a private chotzer, but we're talking about Tirchi Yisera. And if we're talking about Tirchi Yisera, which is a violation of Menucha Shabbos, so we're not talking about the Shvisas Behemto here, we're talking about his Shvisa, the human Shvisa. And the question is, when Rashi speaks about Masa in the case of Rishus HaRabim, then he's talking about Shvisas Behema. But when he's talking about Masa in a Rishus HaYochid or a Chotzer, then he might be talking about a different kind of Masa. Masa meaning an unnecessary exertion. Also, Rabbi Chiya bar Rav Yosef, Amora l'shmaita derav kami d'shmuel, and Rav Chiya now transmits the teachings of Rav to Shmuel, and he told Shmuel about the heter that Rav paskin as far as Traskel is concerned. Amale, and Shmuel responded to Rav Chiya, and he says, Ihachi Amar Abba. Interesting that he calls Rav Abba. That's a shame kinui of, you know, of a beloved nature when you call someone your Abba. And lo yada b'mili d'shabsa v'lo klum. If that's what Abba said, then he doesn't know anything about the laws of Shabbos. That's a very extreme kind of statement. Now, I just want to point the following, that it sounds like Shmuel is accusing of Rav Chiya of a mistaken transmission, as if to say, you couldn't have possibly heard that from Rav. Rav would never say such a thing. And of course, in as an introduction, Shmuel calls Rav Abba, and that's a Lashon Chiba. It's interesting that we find, as Rashi points out here, that when Yosef was appointed by Paro as the Mishnah Melech, it says Vayikru Lefonav Avrech. And the Targum says Avrech is Abba Lamalka, like the king and the father of the king, which means there's a certain chiba that the king, in this case Paro, feels for Yosef, and therefore he calls Yosef Abba. Kislik Rabbi Zera. The Gemara tells further that when Rabbi Zera came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechei Rabbi Yomin bar Yefes, and he encounters Rabbi Yomin, the Yosef v'kamar le'mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan, and he was transmitting Torah in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Nosnim mardas al gavi chamor b'shabes, that one is permitted to place this cloth underneath the saddle on top of the donkey on Shabbos. Amalei, so Rabbi Zera turns to Rabbi Binyamin and he says to him, Yishoyer, you know, what you said is very good, it's to the point. V'chein tirgama, and as you say it, we heard an explanation for this halacha from Aryoch Bibavel. And Aryoch Bibavel, the Gemara is going to say, is a kinui for Shmuel. Aryoch Manu, who is this chacham that's called an Aryoch? And that is Shmuel. Now the word Aryoch comes from a lashon of Melech, and this we see in the Gemara at the beginning of Bava Basra. And in a sense, what he's saying is that Shmuel is the king, and that has to do with Dine Mominos, because Shmuel is the final authority in Dinim, even if Rav disagrees with him. And the Gemara now asks, V'ha Rav Nami Amora? We don't find any machlokes about putting the mardas onto the animal on Shabbos. So why did Rav Zera only mention Shmuel? And the Gemara answers, Ela Shamei Dahavi Misayim Bei. Rabbi Zera heard Rabbi Yomim Bar Yefes, who added at the end of his sentence, after he told you that it was permissible to put the mardas, this cloth, onto the donkey on Shabbos, V'ein Tolin Traskol B'Shabbos. But you're not allowed to you're not allowed to put the attach this basket to the animal on Shabbos around its neck. Amale Yishar V'chein Tirgama Aryoch Bebovel. Here is where Rabbi Zeira gave me Yashikov for saying this. Yishar means you're right on target, on the point, on the ball. And I heard this explanation from Shmuel in Bavel. He also, on the one hand, was willing to permit Mardas, but nevertheless, he paskin that Traskel is also. Rav, on the other hand, was Matir, even Traskel. Now the Gemara goes back to the question of Rav Asi Bar Nosson and tries to figure out the difference between Mardas and Ukaf. And before we had an answer of Rav Zeira, according to Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, that he holds like Rav that he was Matir Mardas, even though the Brisa prohibits putting an okef on the animal, a saddle, and Rav is considered like a Tana, and he could disagree with the Brisa. And his Talmud, Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, holds like him. Now the Gemara is going to ask on Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. They were also Matir Mardas, and they cannot argue with the Brisa as Rav did, because Rav had a status of a Tana, and the Brisa paskins that Okef is Osur. So now the Gemara asks, well, what's the difference between Mardas and Okef? And we're not going to say that they hold like Rav in this context, because they're not going to hold like Rav as a Tana. They don't consider Rav a Tana because they argue against Rav in many, many places in Shas. So the Gemara answers, Shiny Hossam. So we're not going to derive from the Brisa that you're not allowed to put the Okef on the animal, because Shona Adover Sham Binatila, the Efsha Dinafil Mimela. That's a different case. And the difference is because it's possible that the saddle will fall off by itself. And you're not allowed to take a saddle from a donkey. That was the price that we learned earlier. And certainly, how much more so not to put the saddle on the donkey. And in the case of the saddle, when there's a possibility that it might fall off, he may end up carrying it in Rishus HaRabim. So the price, if you may recall, as Rashi quotes, it says that you're allowed to walk the donkey to and fro in a courtyard, but the saddle will then fall off by itself. And therefore, if you have a possibility of removing the saddle without handling it, then you're not allowed to move it by hand, because that would be a terchi yisera. That would be an exertion that's unnecessary. And this only applies to the removal of the saddle, not to putting it on. So one can no longer argue that since the Brisa prohibits a saddle removal, it certainly prohibits putting it on the animal. It's possible that removing the saddle is forbidden because the saddle could fall by itself, but putting it on the animal might be permitted. So when the Gemara asks this question, why is putting on the saddle cloth permitted, whereas putting on the saddle itself is prohibited, the premise of that question is no longer relevant, because both activities could be permitted. So ein lilmod mea braisa sha'asur litol okef sha'asur af losses. We don't have the right to derive from the braisa that prohibited putting it, taking it off, that you're not allowed to put it on. The shiny hussam, in the case of taking it off, the efsha denafel mimela. In other words, if he would have taken the animal this way and that way to and fro, the okef yipol mimela would fall by itself. And therefore, we're not going to allow you to take it directly with your hands. But you cannot prove from that that the Braisa holds that you're not allowed to put it back on. Because the Okef is not going to automatically get onto the animal's back. You know, you might say that you could fall off, but you can't say it's going to go on. I mean, it levitates onto the animal, you know, by some Ruach HaKodesh. And therefore, you yourself are allowed to put it back on. So the entire premise of the Gemara, namely what's the difference between Mardas and Ukaf, is incorrect. The Gemara now adds, Rav Papa Omar, we should differentiate between taking the Okef off the animal and putting it back on, Kan Lechamamo, V'Kan Litzanino. In the case where you're putting on the saddle on the animal's back, then he's trying to heat up the animal, trying to warm up the animal. Even though he has the cloth underneath, but he wants extra insulation, extra warmth. But in the case of Netila, that's Litzanino. Then he's trying to cool off the chamor from the heat of the burden that he was carrying on Erev Shabbos. And when he comes to Lechamamo, Islay Tzara. In other words, the chamor is suffering if you don't warm up its body. Because I think we discussed yesterday that the donkey is very sensitive to the cold. And we have to worry about the tzar of the chamor. If he doesn't put the okef on because of the cold, that's going to be mitzar of the animal, and therefore it's mutter to put it on. However, when he comes with tzarino, when he comes to take off the saddle and therefore cool off the animal, that we're not going to allow. Now, why is it so, that's what the Gemara is going to ask now, that the chamor has no tzar when it's in the heat and you want to cool it off? V'hainu dami inshi, like we have an idiomatic phrase that's popular, chamora afilu biskufas tamuz krirole. The chamor, even during the hot month of Tammuz, like August, is always cold. So therefore you can't prove anything from this braisa that you're not allowed to put the okef back on, because putting the okef back on is an attempt to warm up the animal and prevent it from tsar, because it's very sensitive to the cold. And whether or not you're talking about the okef or the merdas, in both cases, we're going to allow you to put it back on. Now, Shmuel said in the case of Traskal, that basket for food, that you're not allowed to put it on the animal on Shabbos. Meisvei, the Gemara asks the following question on Shmuel. We have a Tosefta, Lo Yetze Asus Biznav Shul, Velo Yetze Bizaharuris Shebeinenov. So the horse should not go out into Shusarabim with a zanav, the tail of a shul of a fox, that they normally put on between his eyes so that there shouldn't be an ayin hara. Again, this has to do with the sociology of their times. And something that's put there as a shmira is not considered tofel to the behemah. It's like a kamiya. And you're not allowed to carry that in Rosh Hashanah. And so too, lo yetze bizaharuris, which is a lashon shel zahuris, a beautiful crimson kind of a piece of cloth, a strip of cloth, shetolbo bein einav linoi, that's used for beauty purposes. So that if you are adding this foxtail, or a red strip between its eyes, then lo yetze, he shouldn't go out. And the question is, in what context are we discussing here? If you take a look at the next few words in this braisa, it says, lo yetze azov bekishelo. And we're talking about a zav, and he wears a certain pouch to catch the ziva, and you wonder why this should be asur. So in the case of the foxtail, we said it's asur to ward off ayin hara when you place this foxtail between the eyes, to ward off an ayin hara. And if you go into Rish Sarabim, that's called a mas, or the red strip of cloth that's used to decorate the horse, and that's an unusual kind of decoration, that's considered a masa. Then we get to the case of a zav, who has various re'ios. Let's say he has two re'ios on the same day, or two re'ios on two consecutive days. He requires Zayin Nikiyim, he's tummy for 7 days. And he wears a pouch to cover his organ to collect the ziva, the zav, the emissions. And he wants to know how frequently he saw them, and when he can start counting Zayin Nikiyim. Now this pouch is not considered neither a beged nor linoy, it's not tachshit, and therefore he's not allowed to wear it in a Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos. Below Izim Bekis Shebedadehem, they used to attach a pouch to the udders of a goat, so that this pouch would collect any dripping milk, or perhaps to protect the udders from being scratched by thorns. And once again, the pouch is considered a masa. It's not really a beged. It's just there to, you know, to collect any drippings of milk. V'lo paru b'chasom shebefia. If you put a muzzle into the mouth of a cow, that's also prohibited, because the cow is simply carrying the muzzle as a burden. It's a masa. It's not in any way, shape, or form a beged. V'lo sayochim b'traskelim. And we're talking about colts. I don't mean colt with C-U, but colt with a C-O. These are sayochim, the young horses. And they can't go out to Rishus HaRabim with traskelin. Traskelin, we said, were those baskets that they wore around their neck in order to make it easier for the animal to eat. And once again, now we're going, what we're seeing here is a brisa that reflects the shita that traskelin is osur, which is the shita of Shmuel. V'lo v'kamiya afal pishu mumche. Now, what's this all about? This also seems to be about ayin hara. This is a charm, a kamiya, and it has all sorts of names of God, and is hung around a person who's sick's neck in order to cure his sickness. And we're not allowed to use this kind of a charm around the animal, even if it is proven effective. It's a mumcha. It has, you know, other people have already been healed from sicknesses time after time after time. As a result of this amulet, it must be effective. But nevertheless, as far as the behemah is concerned, it's considered a masa. V'zech chomer, zu chomer v'behemah mi'ba'ad. And here is where the halacha gets more strict with regard to behemah than it does with regard to a human being. And what that means is that as far as the human being is concerned, he's allowed to wear this amulet, which is effective, even in Rishus HaRab. So we have to figure out why we were more machmir with this amulet with regard to behemah than in Adam. Avayotzi hu he can take the animal out in Rosh Hashanah be'eged shel gabi maka, with a covering, or maybe a kind of a bandage that's attached to cover the maka. And he says, "Ein lochush," quoting the Miri, "Shema yipol v'yavar arba'amis b'shusaram." We're not afraid that he might, this bandage might fall out and he'll carry it in Rosh Hashanah. U'bekshishin, which in Hebrew called luchos, shema midim bekshira al gabi ashever, on an etzem shenishbro, kidei shetamod bimkoma v'lotozes l'tzadim v'alidei zeh tischaber, that also can be worn out in Rosh Hashanah. And also b'shilya, which is the kisui hamishave sviv ha'ubar, what we call a placenta, hamidudelispa, and v'chein pokikin la zug b'tzavara u'mitayelis imo b'chotzer. So let's just quickly review these cases that are delineated in this price and then mutter on Shabbos. So what do we have here? We have here a bandage on a wound, and that we said was mutter even in the case of an animal. And apparently the bandage, since it protects the body, is considered like a beged. And then we have splints on a fracture. These are boards that are tied to the sides of a broken limb to hold the bone in place until it mends. And once again, the animal needs these splints, and therefore it's not considered a masa, but rather it's kind of like a beged. Now, if they would fall off, the owner is not going to carry them for amos v'shusarabim, because they're all inexpensive pieces, just simply pieces of wood. Now, with regard to a placenta that dangles out of it, in other words, some part of the placenta has already emerged, and there's no, at this point, no great discussion. Hopefully we'll see later, but right now, what do we have? We do have one comment here in the name of Rabbeinu Prachya. Hashilya chelik migufa v'yeno masa. So the placenta is considered like part of the mother's body. It's not a burden. V'yein lochush shema tipol v'yavir oto dalet amas. In other words, if this shilya would fall, then that's okay. He doesn't need the shilya. He's not going to start carrying it for Amos and Rosh Hashanah. And then we got up to this case of one who stops up the bell that is around its throat, around the throat of the animal. That's called Pokikin La Zug. Sosmin Lebehema Pa'amon Hatolui Bitzavar. Which means that we plug it up with a piece of soft wool, and it stays in its place, and that's fine. Then what else do we have here? We have a case of Mitayelis Imo Bechotzer. So this zug is actually a pa'amon, a bell, and pokekin la zug, and you're allowed to, take a walk with the animal in a chotzer with this pa'amon, with this bell that's around its neck. And that's because it's a pamon pakuk. it's been stuffed up with this wool. If you have a pamon she'enu pakuk, then we don't go out because the animal, as it walks with this bell, will be making noise, you know, singing bells. Like you've all seen the cows in Switzerland are always moving around with them and ringing their bells. So you need pakuk to get rid of that musical element. So the Gemara now says, Ketani Mias. We should be very careful about reading this braisa. V'lo yetzu siyachim, these young horses should not go out. Betraskalin shebefiem lishus harabim, with these bags, these baskets that, for the purpose of feeding them, that are around their mouths. But that's only lishus harab. So lishus harab hu delo, that's where it's also ha bechatzer shapir dami. So in a chatzer, you're allowed to leave this basket around the animal's neck. My love, bigdol. Right? It would seem that we're talking even about horses that have a long neck. And it wouldn't be such a problem for the animal to bend down, stretch its neck out to eat from the ground. And nevertheless, you're allowed to put on the traskelin, as long as you're in the chatzer, in Mishum Tainik, for the purpose of making it a little bit easier for the animal to bend down and gather up its food from the ground. And that's a kind of Tainug, which is against Shmuel. I mean, Shmuel says that for the sake of Tainug, we're not going to allow you to carry these things. And there's no heter, there's no leniency according to Shmuel for traskelin. We have here a clear-cut raya for Rav against the sheet of Shmuel, that even activities which increase the animal's comfort, even though they don't relieve the animal of any actual pain or suffering, are permitted on Shabbos. So Gemara answers lo b'ktanim. We're talking about not grown colts, but young colts. Umishum tsar. And here, we're going to allow putting these feed bags, this traskelin, attached to them, just simply to alleviate them of tsar. And Shmuel agrees that you're allowed to even do a tirchi yisera on behalf of an animal to prevent it from suffering, to alleviate it of its suffering. And that's called tsar balichayim d'oraisa. Now the Gemara continues and tries to prove that we're dealing with young colts in this braisa. Deker nami. Diktani. And here we're turning to Daf Nun Gimel Amid Beis. Dumya Dekamia. In one breath, the braisa brings down both these amulets and the traskelin. Now the amulets are meant to ward off the evil eye because of the illness of the animal. And the traskal is also something that's brought in here because of the choli and the tsar of these young colts. Because for them to have to bend down and eat the food from the ground, that's a tsar for them. So Gemara says, in conclusion, Shmamina, that in fact this diuk is a perfectly good diuk, and we now have every right to assume that one is allowed to hang a feed bag on an animal if it serves to alleviate suffering, like in the case of young colts, but not to increase tainug in the case of older colts. And that's the support for Shmuel. Now, as far as, again, this traskelin, Omar Mar, we had a braisa that was quoted earlier, velotetze behema bekamia, so we don't allow the animal to go out with this amulet that's tied in a string around the animal for the purpose of refuah. Afal pishu mumche, even if on three previous occasions this amulet has proven itself to be tried and true, and it brought healing to those who were sick. So Gemara now asks for Anan Tanan, our Mishnah, not here, but later on in this parak, with regard to Adam, it says, Lo yetze Adam mekamia she'eno mumcha. It says that only if this kamiya has not been tried, hasn't been proven, then you're not allowed to, allow this amulet around the neck of the animal. Clearly, if the kamiya has proved itself to be successful in the past, then you're allowed to go out with it. And it sounds like even an Adam is allowed to go out with it. So how is a behemah different than a man? In the case of a man, we said that even if the kamiya, even if this amulet is tried and true, it's been proven, it got the FDA approval, nevertheless, we're not going to let the animal go out with this amulet. But when it comes to a man, a human being, we do allow him to go out if this amulet has been proven. And Gemara answers, Hachinami she'eno mumcha. When the Brisa says that you're not allowed to go out with this animal with a kmiya, what's the discussion? It's only talking about and referring to she'eno mumcha, that it hasn't proven itself. And that is the halacha even as far as Adam is concerned, that he should not be wearing an amulet if it hasn't proven itself. So again, looking here on Nun Gimel Amid Beis, Amar Mar, V'lo Kamiya, Afal Pishu Mumche, an animal could not go out with this amulet even though it has been proven tried and true, V'anan Tnan, but we learned in that Mishlo Kamiya She'eno Mumche, HaMumche Shapir Domi, so it seems like an amulet that's been proven, is effective, is permitted, HaChinami She'eno Hachinami she'eno mumcha. The Gemara tries to interpret the Braisa as talking about a kamiya that's not a mumcha, and the Braisa that says lo teitzah behem v'kamiya is talking about an eno mumcha. And just like we saw with regard to Adam, that he also shouldn't go out, you'd say, with an amulet she'eno mumcha, so to behemah. It depends on whether it's mumcha, it's been proven or not. So Gemara asks, va'afal pishu hu mumcha ktani. The Braisa says the animal shouldn't go out with it even though it's a mumcha. So how can you tell me that we're talking about a kamiya that's eino mumcha? It's explicit that we're talking about a kamiya that's mumcha. And the Gemara answers that the Braisa, when it spoke about kamiya shu mumcha, is li adam v'eino mumcha le behemah. It's already been tried and true as far as refuas adam, but not as far as refuas behemah is concerned. So for example, on three occasions, this very amulet was successful to be merapa three b'nei Adam, but we haven't had a parallel with regard to behemoths. And that's why the Braisa says that even though it's a mumchali Adam, since it's not a mumchali behema, ain't a yotzispa. The Gemara asks, umi'ika mumchali Adam v'lo avi mumchali behema. In other words, if on three occasions this amulet proved effective to heal three different human beings, then just like it's effective for human beings, we should consider it a mumcha and we can anticipate it'll be effective for animals. And the Gemara says, no. Is it really so? Can we equate animals and human beings? And the Gemara says the following. We could have a mumchius, an effectiveness for Adam that's not effective for Behema. Adam isle mazel. A man has a mazel, some sort of malach that protects it, and therefore misayele. And therefore, together with the amulet, the malach is able to be merapi and other. Behemel lesle mazal. It doesn't have a malach that appeals up in the heavens on behalf of this animal. And therefore, lo misayela, it's not going to support and help the kamiya. And therefore, it's very, very possible that this amulet, although effective for men, for human beings, were not effective for animals until it's proven on three occasions for animals. The Gemara asks the Hachi, if this be the case, that the Bryce is talking about a Kamiya Shena Mumcha Lebehema, but if the amulet would be proven on three occasions as a Mumcha to heal the animal is Mai, then we would say that you can take the animal out with this Kamiya. So the Gemara says, what does it mean in the Brice? It says, what does it mean when it says, Zech Chomer v'Behema v'Ba'odam? That there's a certain Chomer with regard to Behema that doesn't apply to an Adam, when the same rules apply to both. It all depends on whether it's Mupach or not. So Gemara answers, Mi Savris Akamia Koi. When the Brice says, Zech Chomer v'Behema v'Ba'odam, it's not referring to a Kamiya. The laws and the regulations that govern Kamiya are exactly the same. They parallel each other from Adam to Behema, but rather a sandal koi. On the din that an animal shouldn't go out in a sandal shebaragleha, with regard to that din, the Brisa says that this is a chumra in Behema that doesn't apply to Adam, because an Adam is allowed to go out in a sandal. And a sandal, we're not afraid that it might fall off his feet and he'll come to carry a dalet amos. But in the case of a sandal of a behema, we were afraid that, he might actually carry the sandal if it falls off the animal. In the case of Bnei Adam, nobody goes barefoot. So immediately he's going to put his sandal back on his feet. He's not going to carry it. But not so in the case of the animal. Now the Gemara goes back to the discussion that we had on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph regarding Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, who are matir, putting a merdas on a chamor on Shabbos. And the saddle, as we said before, could serve to warm up the animal and protect it. And it's not called a masa, toshma. The Gemara asks the kasha from a brisa that seems to insist that as far as Nesinas Mardas al Gabi Chamor B'Shabbos is Sochin U'Mefarkasin Li Odom V'Ein Sochin U'Mefarkasin Li Behema. Now we're talking about a wound, we'll call it a Maka, and now we want to anoint the wound or rub it with oil. Or alternatively, we want to remove some of the crust on top of the wound. And as far as an Adam is concerned, that we're allowed to do. However, as far as a behemoth is concerned, as far as an animal is concerned, ain't so. We're not allowed to anoint the animal's maka or remove the gilde, that kind of a crust, or what's it called? There's another word for it, not a crust. Let's see, a scab. That was the word I hadn't heard in a while. My love, the Gemara thinks in the kasha, de ika maka umishum tsar. In other words, the Bryce is referring to a case where the wound is festering and it causes suffering, and therefore the treatment is going to alleviate the suffering. And yet the Bryce tells us that we're not allowed to perform these kind of anointing the sore with oil or scraping off its scab on behalf of an animal. And we said the mardas is permissible to add to the animal, and we're not going to call it tercha yisera, etc., because it alleviates the animal of a certain element of suffering. So Gemara says, lo, the gomar maka, that it's no longer a wound that's festering, but rather the wound is already healed. But mishum tainuk, but it gives pleasure to the animal when you either scrape off its scab or you anoint some oil over the place where there was a wound. And therefore, this would reflect the view of Shmuel. And Shmuel says that there's a difference between alleviating suffering, which is permissible on Shabbos on behalf of the behemoth, as opposed to tainug, which is also. Now, what are we going to do with Rav? Because Rav permits even activities that serve for tainug to increase the animal's comfort. So we're going to have to say that Rav can argue against the Braisa, against Tanoim, Tanahu Poli. Toshma, here's another challenge to both Rav and Shmuel. The Braisa says, Behema she'achaza dam. So the animal is now suffering. It's getting all heated up because of this congestion of blood. And yet the Braisa says, Ein ma'amidin osa b'mayim b'shvil shetitztanin. It's considered a tirchi yisera to take the animal and put it into water that would cool it off. But Adam, shachazo dam, if he's suffering for this congestion of blood, is ma'amidin osa b'mayim b'shvil shetitztanin. We're allowed to cool him off. Now this is not something that would separate Rav and Shmuel, because even Shmuel, who's more machmir, that's only as far as tainug is concerned. But to alleviate the animal from pain, is that something that even Shmuel would permit? So here, when we're trying to cool off the animal that's suffering from this high blood pressure and very, very great heat, we would think that even according to Shmuel, there should be mutter, yet the Braisa prohibits it. It's considered tirchi yisera. Omar Ula, so Ula answers that here we have a separate reason why it's prohibited. Gzeira mishum shchikas samamonim. And what we mean to say is that any sort of refuah was prohibited in Rabbanon on Shabbos because of the gzeira shchikas samamonim. They used to grind the herbs and the drugs in order to prepare drugs for refuah. And that's something that we can't do on behalf of a behat. Of an animal. Any sort of refuah is prohibited on Shabbos. Ihochi says, Gemara Adam Nami, this gezerah of refuah prohibits even a man from taking refuah. If this is a medicinal procedure, it should be also even for a man. The Gemara answers, Adam Nira Kimekar. When the Rabbanon prohibited refuah, it's only something that's obvious to be a Maiser refuah. But if you can sort of dress it up in a way that on the outside it doesn't look like a refuah, a man wants to cool himself off from the heat, he goes into cold water. So that's okay. That's not a violation of the gzeirah of refuah. Yehoki Gemara says, Beim anami nira kemekar. The animal also wants to cool off. Why not? And the answer is, Ein mekar lebeim. In other words, we don't cool off animals. In other words, it's not a general minhag, you know, to put animals into water to cool them off for the heat of the day. So the spectator will think that it's being done, which it is, for medicinal purposes. And he might conclude that you're allowed to do refuah on Shabbos. And if we go a step further, he might kind of grind up drugs on Shabbos to make it medicine, so therefore it's not permissible. So the Gemara asks, Ula behema mikazrinon, was the original enactment of the Chachamim to prohibit the use of medicines on Shabbos made for the sake of animals? And he says the following, Vasanya, we have a braisa that says, Hoiso medes chutz l'tchum, if the animal is outside the tchum of Shabbos alpayim, I'm a kori lov hiba, you can call out to the animal and she will come. Lo gazrin and dilma osi lasuye, we're not afraid that maybe he's going to go out of the tchum in order to bring back the animal. So we see that the Rabbanim were very makil for the sake of an animal. Why? Because an animal is not something that we want to lose. You know, an animal is expensive. I remember my brother-in-law when he said that in order to order a rabbit for research purposes, they would have to spend 1,000 shekel. We could call this hefsed meruba. We can call it a loss of money. You know, when you have to pay so many shekels, you know, for an animal. And in addition to tzar bal chayim, we have the tzar of a person who's losing so much money. So therefore, the Gemara's kasha is that since we find kulis with regard to the surim d'rabbanan on Shabbos for the sake of hefsi meruba to avoid loss of finances, then we can apply that here in the case of a refuah for an animal that we're going to be makel with even if for man we wouldn't be makel for human, but for an animal we certainly can be makel. So Omar Ravina says kigon shal yitchum shalom muvla besoch tchum shalom, that when do we allow him to stand, you know, on the, let's say, the on the boundary line of tchum and call out to the animal so that the animal is outside the boundary. That's only in a case where the animal's Shabbos boundary overlaps with the owner's Shabbos boundary. So the animal is actually technically inside the owner's boundary. Now, every person has a boundary, has a konish visa within a certain radius, and the animal is actually located within that radius. So that even if the animal would sort of refuse to respond to his calling, he would not violate the isa tchum d'orais if he went out to fetch the animal. And that's why this gzera doesn't apply. In other words, we usually apply the principle that anything that a man owns, like animals or kelim, they're all limited to the same boundary of the owner. They cannot be taken more than 2,000 amos away from this person's shvisa, where his kona shvisa, his place of residence. But let's say these animals were transferred before Shabbos to another person, let's say a shomer, and he's trying to be in charge of the safekeeping. So then the animal was kona shvisa within that area, that radius of the safekeeper, that other person who's not the owner of the animal. Now, Albrecht is talking about a case in which the animal was entrusted, let's say, to a shomer, we'll call it a roer, a shepherd, has a different boundary, was kona shvisa, different radius than that of the bailam, the owner of the animal. And on Shabbos, the animal was found outside of the boundary of the roer, but within the boundary of the owner, of the bailam. So the owner would be allowed, in this case, to bring the animal towards him. He doesn't have to go outside of his boundary at all. He's within his boundary. Now again, he may have to cause the animal to go out more than 4 amos outside the boundary. That's a possibility. And again, as we said before, the Tchum Shabbos is limited to that particular 2,000 amah radius. But he would not commit any violation of any even Issa D'Rabbanan because he's not responsible for keeping his animal within the prescribed area on Shabbos. He's not allowed to work the animal and have the animal do malacha. But when it comes to Chutz L'Tchum, the main point to this Gemara, just to summarize, is that the animal is currently positioned, after it left the Tchum, within the owner's Tchum. And that's really what the Gemara wants to emphasize here. The owner is forbidden to move the animal by hand, but the Rabbanan did not forbid him to call out to the animal so that to get the animal back. And we're not afraid that he'll move the animal by hand. That's what we have. Now, getting back to Ula for a moment, Ula was the one who said that the Issa D'Rabbanan regarding refuah on Shabbos, which is because we want to prevent Shchikas Samamonim, applies even to treating animals. And now the Gemara wants to quote Tanoim that didn't necessarily agree with Ula. Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak Omar, Shchikas Samamonim Gufa Tanoihi. In other words, when the Rabbanon instituted this shvus that we don't take medicine, this is a subject of a machlokas tanoim with respect to animals. Again, as far as man is concerned, that's upgrade. That's absolutely accepted. The sanya, we have a brisa behema sha'ochla karshinin. So karshinin is some sort of animal food. And lo yiritzena bechotzer b'shvil shetisrape. Okay, so the animal ate a lot of karshinin. It got sick. I guess it overate. And we're not allowed to, according to this Tana, laharitz es behem v'chotzer. In other words, somehow if you get the animal moving, in this case sort of running through a courtyard, that's going to help the animal to relieve itself from this overeating of karshinin. And this Tana holds that medical treatment, even for the sake of animals, was forbidden. Again, because of Shchikas Sabamon. This would reflect the Sheet of Ula. However, Rav Oshia Matir, and apparently Rav Oshia is of the opinion, that there's no Gzera that prohibits Rafu as far as Behem is concerned. Dorash Rav Alochik Rav Oshia. And Rav actually passes Alocha like Rav Oshia. Lekula. Now we're getting back to the brice that we mentioned back on Amud Aleph. Omamar, we said in the brice, Alo Yetze Hazov Bekishelo. A Zav is not allowed to walk into the Rishus, out in Rishus Ram with this pouch that he's wearing around his lower parts. And Velo Ezen Bekishe Bedadeim, or goats with a pouch on their udders to, you know, it's to freeze the milk. Vasanya, but what are we going to do with another brice that says Yotzos? Izim bekis shevedadeya, that the goats are allowed to go out with a pouch on their udders. Amar Rav Yehuda lo kasha, ha de mihadik, ha de lo mihadik. It all depends upon how this pouch is fastened to the animal. Is it mahadik? Hiduk means it's secure, it's stark, it's strong, or lo mahadik. If it's not fastened securely, then we have to worry about the possibility that this pouch might fall off, and one might chas v'shalom carry it for amos and rishus harabim. And that's the brisa that asks it. Rav Yosef Omar, according to his opinion, tanoi shaklus mi'alma. Why do you remove, so to speak, this is just a phrase and a dramatic phrase, why do you remove all the tanoim for the world? Tanoi, why not a suit? That there is a machlokas tanoim on this very point that the two brises really represent and formulate two shitos in the tanoim, the snan. And let's learn in our Mishnah, Izim Yotzeis Tzruros. Our Mishnah says, according to Tanakama, that you can allow the goats go out to Shisaram if you tied their udders. You'd put this rope around their udders. For Rabbi Yossi Omer, Oser Bekula. Rabbi Yossi forbids all the above. Chutz min arachelos hakvulos. Only in the case of, you know, baby sheep, or what we call ewes, we said E-W-E-S. And they're allowed to go out kvulos. What does kvunos means? Literally translated as fastened. And Imr Hashem will try to figure that out a little bit later when we get to Daf Nun Dalit. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Izim Yotzos Tzuros Liyabish, Avalo Licholev. So we're allowed to tie around this pouch to the udders of the goats in order to dry up the milk, but not to collect the milk. And if that be the case, Rav Yosef is suggesting that if we have a stira about Izim Bekis, Shebedadeyem, it's really Machlokas Tanoim. Because the Tanakhama says that Izim Yotzos, Tzruros, which indicates that we're allowed to tie up a kiss around their udders, Whereas Rav Yossi was the one who was machmir in all of these cases, with the exception of Rechelos and Tsruros Liyabish, but not Lecholev. Iboy Seymo, now Rav Yossi suggests another reconciliation of the Brysos. Iboy Seymo, Hava Hava Rav Yudah. Both of Brysos reflect the Shita Rav Yudah Lokasha, Kan Liyabish, Kan Lecholev. So when you ask about whether or not you're allowed to tie this pouch around the udders of a goat and let it go out in Rishus HaRabim, it all depends on what you're using the pouch for. If the pouch is to dry up the milk, then we said that's permissible. But if the pouch is there to collect the milk, that's prohibited. Now, what is the difference between Liyabesh and Lecholev? Why should that be a logical difference? So first of all, let's just summarize the three-way machlokas in the Mishnah. According to Tanakama, animals are permitted as a general rule to go out with a pouch that's tied to their udders. And that's true for all circumstances. Rav Yossi prohibits the practice in all circumstances. And Rav Yehuda comes up with a middle compromise shita. He permits it if the pouch is there to dry up the milk, but he prohibits it when the pouch is there to collect the milk and make sure it doesn't drip onto the ground. And Rav Yosef now, in quoting the three shitas, three machlokas in the Mishnah, he wants to attribute the brisa that permits the goats to go out with a pouch to Rabbi Meir, and the brisa that prohibits it to Rabbi Yossi. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm talking about the Amora of Yehuda, not the Tana, he holds that both brises follow a single Tana. And that's going to be Rabbi Meir. Where Rabbi Yosef holds that there are two shitas in the Tanoim, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora, goes with the following logic. Since both prices are stummy, meaning that no name is mentioned, it's more likely that they both follow one Tana. That's more attractive a position than to assume it's a machlokas Tanoim, and he therefore attributes both prices to Rabbi Meir. One is referring to a pouch that's tied securely, and the other that's one that's tied loosely. Rav Yosef rejected this approach. According to his logic, there's no need for any brisa to teach that a pouch is prohibited if it's not tied securely, because the Gemara already had back on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph in reference to the Mardas, the saddle cloth. That a loosely attached item is forbidden, it might fall off, you might carry it, etc., etc. Rav Yosef therefore argues that if there's a machlokas tanoim as to whether a pouch is prohibited, it means even if it's attached securely, then that's a better way of interpreting the two brises. And now we understand the difference between what we call liyabesh and what we call lecholev. In the case of liyabesh, to dry up the milk, the pouch is tied securely and tightly, and therefore it's not a burden. And since the reason is to stop the milk, therefore, in a sense, the pouch is protecting the animal's body because the constant milk is weakening the animal. However, if it's lecholev, if the purpose of this pouch is just simply to collect the milk, then the pouch is a masa, it's a burden, because its purpose is only to carry the milk. Now, Rav Yosef was of the opinion that the two brises follow two different shitas in the Tanoim. And here, Rav Yosef himself is attributing both brises to the same Tana. But perhaps we can answer that question, and that is because what Rav Yosef is really objecting to in Rav Yehuda's approach, again, Rav Yehuda the Amora, It wasn't that Rav Yehuda attributed both brises to one Tana, but rather Rav Yehuda interpreted one of the brises referring to a pouch that's not fastened securely, which, according to Rav Yosef, is obvious. We don't need a brisa for that. That objection no longer applies, because we're talking about both brises are talking, addressing a case where he securely attaches the pouch. However, when he's doing it lechalev, that's a different story. Even if he ties the pouch securely and tightly, however, what we have is not something that protects the animal. If it's something that protects the animal, as we said before, that has the status of a beged, and that's not a problem. But if it's only to collect the milk, that's not considered a protection of the animal's body. We just want to get that milk. The chefza here is the cholav. The Gemara now has another brisa. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa be'izin beis Antochia. So there's a certain place called Antochia, and they had a bunch of goats. Shehayudah deim gasim, and there are the udders of these goats were very unusually large. V'asalahem kisim kidei shelo yisartu dadehem. So they made these pouches so that the udders would not be scratched and harmed because they were dragged over thorns. And we mentioned that the udders were unusual, they were large. The Gemara now tells a story about a kind of a miracle that took place. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned, Maisa b'yechad shemesa ishto nebach, he lost his wife, he nicha ben linok, and she left a baby that needed to nurse, a young child. V'lo hayelo schar b'nicha lit, and he was poshed penniless, he couldn't pay any woman to nurse the baby. In those days, everything depended upon nursing. Naslo nes, v'niftichu lo dadim, Kishnei Dadi Isha, he was able to nurse the baby. Vinikas Pno. Omar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef's comment was that Bo Re'e Kamagodol Adam Zeh. This man must have been a great man. Shinasalo Nespazel Omlo Abaye Adarab, on the contrary. Kamagarua Adam Zeh. Shinishtanolo Sidre Bracious. So we have here like a hashkafic debate between Rav Yosef and Abaye. And Abai's position was that what Hashem should have done, if he deserved to, if this person deserved it, is to make it easier for him to get a parnasa so he could pay a woman to nurse the baby. Abai's not denying that the person, this man, must have had some merit. The miracle wouldn't have been performed for him. But he's inferior, this man, in that he was prevented from earning a livelihood in the normal way. And if a person has a miracle, he's going to have to pay for it. A lot of merits have to pay for a miracle. And the reward for these deeds is now, for his good deeds, is lessened because he pays with a lot of his merits for this miracle. It also is more profound than that because God doesn't want to change nature. Nature is really a divine creation. And Amar Rabbi Yehuda bo re'e kama koshim mizonosav shel odom shenishtanu alav sidrei breishis. How difficult is it of a challenge for a person to provide food for himself and his family? For the natural order was changed on this man's behalf. If to say it's easier for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to change the natural law than to provide parnos and mizonos for this person. And the Maral embellishes this by saying Hashem provides food for each person as an individual. Right? L'chol chai rotzon. And that's an act of chesed. But it transcends nature. In the case of, let's say, Kriyas Yamsuf, that involves a change in something that already exists. But the provision of food for someone entails a more fundamental creation. So providing food is more difficult, kaviyachol, than miracles themselves. And therefore Hashem made it sort of easier by giving him a miracle rather than providing mizonos for him. That's how difficult and challenging is mizonos. It's like a creation of Yesh Me'ayin. Omer Rav Nachman, tell you that, I'll prove it to you. The Misrachesh Nisa. There was a nest that was done min Hashemayim to save the nefash v'lo ibru mizone. Ach ein zeragil sheyara nes livro mizonos l'tzadikim bibaseim bibesam v'yimtzu chitim gedolos biotzram. You know, it's like parnasa mizonos. It's like finding something in your storage room that didn't exist, food that wasn't there. God is creating new food for the sake of a tzaddik. That's even more difficult than simply changing the order of nature in such a way that he could have nursed the baby, his own son. Tana Rabbana, we learned in a braisa. Ma'aseh b'demechet she'nasa isha gidemes. Gidemes means she's missing an arm. So he married this woman, v'lo hikir ba ad yom mosa. Pella. He was married to her, and he never knew that she was missing an arm. This seems to be an extra midah of tznius, that he didn't even know about her physical impairment. Ad yom mosa. He quotes the Ein Yaakov here, that efshe should be yom mosa, no delo shekidemesi, kevan she, oz nichama osoba zeh. Only on a deathbed did she reveal to him that he should be a little bit consoled and not be in a state of total grief because she didn't even have an arm. Omar Rav says, Bo re'e, kama tznua isha zu. Imagine the level of tznius, of modesty of this woman, that her husband did not even know that she was missing an arm or a hand. Reb Chiya disagrees. He says, this is not such a great milo. Why? Women in general cover themselves. And how much more so this woman who needed to cover herself? How modest is this man that he didn't recognize, he didn't perceive that his wife was missing an arm. Now, if you take a look here in the note, he quotes both the Yavetz and the Divrei Moshe. The Yavetz says, what about the Gemara in Kiddushin? A person has to see him. But maybe in the case of somebody who's extremely modest, he's allowed to marry a woman even without seeing her. How could he not have seen that she doesn't have an arm? And the Dibros Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, says that there's a machlokas here between Rav and Rabbi Chiya. V'don b'inyan mekach tos b'kedusha isha gabi isha zushlo gil sol v'ayla. He wants to know, is there a mekach tos if she somehow denied him this information that she doesn't have an arm? We could also mention the Iyun Yaakov, who tries to explain how is it possible that he didn't know about this deformity and he only found out on the day of his death. And at this point, the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah's Zecharim Yotzim Levuvin. And we had trouble understanding what Levuvin is. My Levuvin. The Gemara now wants to translate this Levuvin, which applies to male rams. Amar Rav Huna Tutre. So we didn't really know what Levuvin is, but we certainly know what Tutre is. Just joking. Tutre means tied together in pairs. You want to make sure that these rams don't run away, so you tie together two rams. And these two rams are allowed to go out on Shabbos, and the rope that ties them together is not considered a masa. because it's protecting them from running away. So the Gemara says, "My mashvadai levuvin lishna de kruvehu." How do we know that this language called levuvin means that they were connected to each other? And the Gemara answers, "Dichsiv a poskin shir shirim hakadosh baruch hu says to Knesset Yisrael, ivavtini achosi kala, which means keraftani etzlech machmas noi maaseich." So the concept of ivavtani of kirva means when you get two things connected or close. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "You have captured my heart, Livavtani, my sister, oh, my bride." Now, when rams are strapped to each other in pairs, that prevents them from running away. The Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, God addresses Israel saying, "You have drawn me close to you through the attractiveness of your deeds," Rashi says. And this pasuk uses an allegory in which a husband speaks to his wife using the term of endearment, sister. And the word libavtadi, which comes from the root lev or heart, means you have captured my heart. And that's levuvin. And this shows that levuvin means closeness, kirva, as we said before. There's another explanation of levuvin that comes from Ula. Ula Omar, what does it mean? That levuvin, yotzim, zcharim yotzim, levuvin, is they're allowed to go out, be or shekoshrin lahem keneged libam kedesh lo yiplu alem ze'evim. So what they would do is they would tie to the rams some piece of leather that would cover their hearts so the wolves would not be able to fall upon them and attack them, because the heart sort of is, in order to attack the animal, would be the wolf seizing the underbelly of the animal. And a ram rears itself up on its hind legs to fight a wolf. The wolf then claws at the ram's underbelly. So this is a matter of protecting the rams from the wolves. And if we do so with these kinds of, what do we call them, strips of leather that cover their hearts, then that's mutalatzispo, that's all within the context of shmira, of protecting the animals. So the Gemara says, ze'evim azcharim nafli anakevis lo nafli. Why does the Mishnah single out the male rams, and you know that we tie up this these straps around their hearts, but the wolves don't attack the female rams? And the Gemara answers that it's true that the Ze'evim will only attack the males, Mishum de Misagu Beresh Edra, because they, the males, go at the head of the pack. So the Gemara says, the Ze'evim Beresh Adra Nafli Besof Edjalona, they only attack the animal at the front of the pack, but not the animal on the back of the pack. Ella, but rather the reason why the Zevim attack the males and only the males is Mishum Dishmine, because the males are very fat. So the Gemara asks, Unikevim Leka Shmine, are there no female rams that are fat? You know, plenty of meat for the Zev. Bisu, and furthermore, Miyadi Benhani Lahani. Do the Zevim, when they jump on the animal and attack it, do they really know which are the fat ones? Ella, but rather the reason why they attack the males is Mishum de Zokvi Chotmayhu Umazgi Beidov. They lift up their nose, and as they're walking, they look this way and that way. And the Ze'evim get very jealous, and they think that these males are going out there to battle against them. They see these male rams as a threat. So it's not that the wolves will attack the fat ones, you know, meaning the males that are fat, because there are even fat ones amongst the female sheep, female rams, sheep. And not only that, the wolves probably don't even know the difference between these and those. But rather, male sheep are attacked because they hold their noses up and they walk while looking from side to side. And the wolves are antagonized. They think that the rams want to attack them. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, he has a new interpretation of Livluvim, and that is Ar Shekoshrin Lahem Tachas Zachrusam. This is a strip of leather that's tied to the rams under the genital areas, Kedesh Lo Yalu Al Nekevos, so they shouldn't mount the females. And a person would not want his young ewes to conceive because he needs them to suckle their young. And Levuvin, which we said before, signifies closeness. According to this interpretation, it connotes the prevention of closeness, just the opposite. So this is one of those words that can signify either the positive or the negative of its primary meaning. Like, for example, if you take the word shoresh. So shoresh means a root, but it also can mean, lashrish means to uproot. And this is another example of either to create closeness or the opposite, to prevent closeness. And here we want to prevent closeness, mimai. And from whence do you derive this definition? I mean, a Ketani Sefer, it says in the Sefer of the Mishnah, Varachelim Yotzos Shchuzos, the ewes go out held, Shchuzos, my Shchuzos, what does it mean? Shchuzos, Sha'ochzim Ha'alya Shalahem Lamala. They go out with their tails that are held upwards. And that means they actually expose their genital areas. And Kedeshi Yalu Aleim Zcharim, this is the way they attract the males. So therefore we can assume that Levuvin is somehow related to the word Shechuzos, which appears in the Mishnah. So we say Reisha Kedei Shelo Yalu Al Nekevos. So the first term, levuvin, means that the males should not mount the females. V'seifa k'deshi yalu aleim z'charim. And in the seifa, again related to this whole area of breeding and so forth, it means that shchuzos is the counter, you know, to adarabba, the males should mount the females. So in the Hebrew translation, he says that Shchuzos Ochazina Al Yishalom Lamala Koshrim Es Novam Al Gabon. So they tie the tail up on top, so they shouldn't close or conceal their erva, their general areas. Kadesh Yalu Aleim Scharim. Because in this particular case, we try to encourage the breeding. So since there's a sort of a logical, compelling reason to say that both the Reisha and the Sefer are talking about the same topic, so therefore Rav Nachman understands that we should interpret Levuvin as the flip side, that Koshrim Lehem or Tachas Zichrusam, and it turns out that both the Reisha and the Sefer are talking about the same topic. The Reisha is talking about Kosher Od Zchor Hazchorim, Oral Zchorim, Kedesh Lo Yalu Al Nekevos, and the Sefer is kosher as a son of Shal HaNekevos, Kedesh Yalu Aleim Zachar. And the Gemara asks, my mashma, how do you know, where's the biblical source, the high shechuzos, lishna de geluyehu, it means to tie it in such a way that you expose that area of the body, which is called Gili Erva. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, Vehine Isha Likroso Shis Zona Unitsuras Lev Ervasa Yervas Zona. Now it's Regila Begili Erva. So this is a woman who comes to meet him, and she exposed like a harlot and with a surrounded heart. So Miachar Shis Zona Unitrikan Shel Shich Shechuzos. So we derive from that that these words Shechuzos are a lashon of, this word is a lashon of Gili Erev. So now we're up to the top of Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, and this is where we're going to stop for today. Harechelim Yotzos Kavulos, which is right here on the top of the Amud Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. Take this opportunity to wish everyone a Chag Sameach. We should only hear better news.